throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports and Mole. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're a day away from the busiest high school basketball day in the playoff calendar. 246 games around the state tomorrow. And it's Canute Day in February, Jared.
I see what you did there.
Tatum Riddling, head coach of the Trojanettes, coming up first at 9:15. Brock Steffes will be after her at 9:30. We can get into a little bit of the college football playoff model that was approved yesterday. We do that at the end of the show. And an amazing stat last night from UConn. So the men's hoops team goes down on the road to Creighton, 85-66. Crazy numbers associated with that one and kind of the way that UConn rolls on the road against ranked teams. And then here at the top of the show, since we've got it's high school basketball centric right now, it's going to be for the rest of the week and hopefully into next week as well. And then maybe even the next week after that. It's playoff time already to the area round in A and B. What are the most intriguing games tomorrow not involving a local school?
A local school meaning Paragon School?
And Sentinel.
Oh, okay.
And whoever else.
I quit expanding it. I wrote down four, one for each.
Okay. That's exactly what I did. Okay. I got an A boys and A girls, a B boys and a B girls. So we can talk about those right off the top of the show. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app has everything. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight. You can check out the deals in this week's Penny News online, thepennynews.com. Print edition will be available this evening in a lot of locations by in the morning. You can go pick up a free copy of the Penny News. And, of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV back on the air tomorrow. Tons and tons of high school playoff basketball that you can watch right there through the app. And also the Skinny on Sports podcast is available anywhere podcasts are consumed. How are you, Jared?
Very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Let's get right to it. Okay, so you did exactly what I did. I just kind of said, what are the most intriguing games for people outside of the local schools? And so let's start. Who was your pick in Class A girls?
I went with a top five matchup between, maybe because I'm really interested in it's in the same area that Canute's in, but Thrill and Allen.
No.
What?
That game is Friday.
Oh, tomorrow.
I said tomorrow.
I'm about to cuss.
No, yeah, you can't do area finals.
By the way, why isn't that played on a Thursday? So there's a day of rest to award that team that just lost their first game.
Why would it be? You can't. Because there's four games to play.
Right, well.
This isn't some podunk tournament in January, Jared. This is the playoffs. It's a scheduling issue. You're not going to play six games. See what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I'm not going to do it.
They should.
Not going to. Why?
To give that team a rest.
Why?
They deserve it.
They have lost the game just like everybody else.
Yeah, well, first game they lost later in the playoffs.
So? It's still double elimination.
Yep.
I mean.
Well, I'm sticking with my statement.
The other team's playing three in a row. You want them to get a day of rest in between having they lost.
They lost.
Go play. I don't think you're going to get much support for that for teams that are playing tomorrow and having to play Friday and Saturday.
All right. I'm just filibustering until I can find my real answer here.
Yeah, this is right. Leland's right. It's just been this way for 50 years. That's just the way it is.
Hey, give me your answer. I'm trying to find mine.
Okay, Class A girls?
Yeah.
Ripley and Porham. That's number 10 against number 18. That's in Area 4 of Class A girls. One of the few games that's with ranked opponents. You're going to see a lot more of those on Friday, even in the consolation bracket, where there's some games, and we can talk about this is going to be my just go ahead and put your mind around it. We're going to talk tomorrow about which games we want to see in the consolation bracket.
On Friday?
Yes. Hey, like, right. Who we want to see win so we can see that matchup for the team that gets to play on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But Ripley and Porham would be my Class A girls answer on that one.
Yeah, I'm not seeing one any better than that. I mean, nothing like you think Caddo and Tallahena. Caddo should roll. You're looking at some of those.
Yeah, what's in that one? What's the other game in that one?
It's Wright City.
There you go. Wright City and Caddo is going to be an answer tomorrow because that's number 2 and number 6.
Correct.
In the same area.
And I can't say Sentinel.
No,
but
can't
Sentinel
say Sentinel
and Wacomas. I think that could be a matchup, a fan's dream because I think they evenly match up player for player.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like your answer there. I'll go with that one. Maybe Okarchi Texoma because of the whole story behind the Okarchi girls. Mm-hmm. And are they playing back to the level they thought they would at the beginning of the year before the controversy? We talked about all that yesterday. Yeah, maybe that one. I'll switch my answer. Okarchi Texoma.
Okay, Class A boys.
Go.
PCH and the Academy.
Yeah, you know what? I'd circled that one before I misread the directions, but let me make sure I got that right. Yeah, because I picked Pond Creek Hunter to go to state, so I'm very interested to see if they continue to win. Yeah, give me that one.
See, that's what I was you know, the Academy was one of those teams when you looked at their record.
You didn't really...
They were really intriguing to see what they...
Right.
What are they?
Yeah. So kind of a answer, like, are they? Are they good?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Pond Creek Hunter, because, I picked them, so...
Yeah, and they were so close to losing in the first round of regionals to Garber, and then obviously got knocked off in the second round. That was a home game, an overtime mm-hmm. game. Class B girls, what do you got?
You go.
The real answer is Leedy and Arnett, but we can't use that.
We can't use
so
it,
it's,
yeah.
For me, it's in the same area, though. Kremlin Hillsdale and Boise City, number 16 versus number 20.
Wasn't there a – no, that's not until later, Jared. The Frontier ones, that they mm-hmm. don't play till
Frontier Lomega.
Lomega.
Yep.
That one's not till Friday. And you said who?
Kremlin Hillsdale and Boise City. But the real answer is Leedy and Arnett.
Yeah, Boise City was that team I talked about early, right before the playoffs start, or before the area regional started. They could be dangerous because they're way out there and no one sees them a lot. But there they are, ranked 20th. Is that out of respect because of their good record? Mm-hmm. I like that answer too. And then, when did they go to state last? It wasn't that far long ago.
A couple of years, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. So maybe people need to start saying Boise State is a team you need to worry about.
Boise City, is that did Hammond beat them in their first title run?
Yeah, I remember we were sitting right here and I was watching the score.
So you weren't there. So it wasn't
not that one. No, I think it was their runner-up year.
Okay. Yeah, so I remember them being there in Hammond playing them at some point. All right, Class B boys.
It was the year after that. They were defending.
That's right, when they got beat in the finals.
Yeah.
By Varnum. That's exactly right.
Right.
That's exactly right, because you'd gone to the Canute, and Drew was doing the Hammond.
Yes. Yeah, that year.
Yes.
Correct.
Class B boys, this probably isn't going to be the best game, but to me it's the best story. And that is Fort Cobb and Moyers. Are we really not going to see Fort Cobb-Broxton in the state tournament? And that's clearly a possibility now that they're in the, you know, the area consolation. One bad day, and they're done.
Yeah, I'm curious if...
That's the only reason I put that
one. Yeah, if not Moyers, if it's Eric or Battiest or whoever the potential opponent could be on Friday, if they take the model that Granite just laid out for everybody on how to defend them.
Yeah. Are we going to see Diamond and two with two guarding Rodgers?
Moyers is probably thinking, what else do we – we got nothing to lose.
And then again, okay, and not only to that, though, then how does Coach Hines counter scheme it. Up yeah. to counter it?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's real intriguing. Yeah, there's nothing else really shiny about the rest of the matchups. So
Friday is when you can have some blockbuster ones.
Maybe Wesleyan and Christian LaMega, they're a couple ranked teams.
Yeah, I had Wesley and Christian in my state tournament.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like that's what I'm looking for is those two, you know, ranked teams playing each other. So maybe that one.
Yeah, it's going to be some good ones. There'll be some that pop up.
Yeah.
That you kind of go, huh, look at that. All right, we're going to take a break. I'll ask that other question at the end of the show before we get these coaches on, or after we get the coaches on.
What other question?
Over under 2.5 Paragon TV teams in the state tournament in Class A and B.
Let's see if I screwed that question up.
Merit doesn't count. Talking to A and B only.
A and B.
We'll be back with Coach Ridling.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
Yeah! Coming on, yeah!
Welcome back. It is the Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out here on a Wednesday. High school basketball playoffs get cranked up again tomorrow. Area in the smaller schools, regionals for the larger schools. Joining us now is a young lady that will be on the sidelines for one of those area consolation games. It's head coach Tatum Ridling of the Canute Trojanettes, 24-5. Coach, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing wonderful. Listen, Jared knows the ins and the outs of everything Canute-wise. I have one – I'm going to start with one question. He's told me all year long there's a mix of youth and there's a mix of experience within your team. How do you see the younger ones helping the older ones and then also the vice versa, the older players kind of teaching the ropes to the younger girls?
Yeah, I know he's correct in that. I have two returners from last year, and so they were able to kind of go on a run with this area, so they kind of get the feeling of what this part of playoff basketball feels like. But I talked to my young ones because my two sophomores, Kendall Suster and Destiny Jackson, have just been a big part of our game all year long. And so I think they'll settle in. I think they'll be fine. Emily's a good leader for us as a senior, and she kind of keeps them all, keeping that pressure down off themselves and just to kind of just always tell them just play our game and, you know, we're going to make mistakes, but, you know, play through those mistakes. So I think as a team, they'll come together. I think there'll be nerves early on, but I think they'll settle in.
Hey, Coach, speak more to your seniors. I know that for me personally, when as a broadcaster, there's kind of parallels there with the coach too. When you see a kid, you know, they come in as a freshman and they're wide-eyed, and then they just mature and get better and better with their game and how they carry themselves. You mentioned Emily. I always point that out about her. Malia DeGarmo is one of them, and Gabby Espinoza, her shooting's really picked up this year. Speak to your seniors this year and how their maturity has led your team this season.
Yeah, they stepped up into that role. We lost three big ones last year as far as seniors, and they came in, and we just talked about finding an identity for ourselves this year and being able to step into those roles, and they did that. They came in right off the bat, and they wanted to make themselves known this year, and they have. And, you know, Malia and Gabby both have that potential to really shoot the ball well, and I think that that's been a big key to us, just having that outside presence where, you know, you don't have someone you're playing off of, that you have to respect everyone. And so have stepped in, and I've been really proud of all the leadership that they've given these young ones.
Another key part of your team that are not seniors, the sophomores you mentioned, Kendall Schuster has positioned herself as being one of the better centers on this side of the state, down low, just a sophomore. And, of course, there's Destiny Jackson, her second year as a starter. How good can they be together? I mean, I know we got a couple more seasons with them, but they're showing signs of some really special things happening right now. How good can they be? Are they? I don't think they've peaked just yet.
No, I don't think they have either. It's actually been a lot of fun to watch them. Kendall Schuster, I just got it. I mean, if anyone knew her ahead of time and what she's become this year has been just amazing. She has been dominant on both ends of the floor. But just their chemistry and their little duo that they have together, they see each other really well and they feed off each other really well. They have big things coming. I definitely don't think they've peaked. I think they still have growing room even this year, finishing out this season. But really excited to even see what they're going to come with next year as well.
And Kendall needs to shoot to three more, right?
Yeah, no, she's funny. She shoots it. We shoot it every day in practice, and she has a nice little shot, and she's asked me all year. And I'm like, if you get an opportunity, you got the green light. She took that opportunity and hit that one, so I was excited for her.
That was the most exciting play of the game. That was against Verdon the other day. Sorry, Aaron, I'm stepping on your toes.
No.
This playoff run, it's gone a different route. Of course, the loss to Waucomas was disappointing. Every loss is disappointing. But did you find it encouraging with how the way it started? It didn't go too well. Shooting was flat and everything. And then the way your girls battled back, forced overtime, and came up short. Was that encouraging or just, like I said, was it just disappointing and just time to move on?
It's one of those hats off to Waucomas. I mean, they shot lights out. I mean, I think we got down 11-1. But the biggest thing that I talked to my girls about was we never gave up. And we had Emily go down with an ankle injury in the second quarter, fought our way back, had Camry come off the bench, hit a big three to tie us. I mean, just the fight that these girls have is what's got them where they're at right now. And so, we went to the locker room, and, of course, you never want to lose. But I told them, you took care of business when you needed to, and you gave yourself two lives, and we still got a life left, and we can't let this deter us. We still are on a mission, and our goal's got to stay the same. And so we've just got to come back and be ready to bounce back. And they did that, and that's one thing about these group of girls. They're going to fight. They're going to fight to the end. So I never have to question that.
Speaking of that mission, a year ago you come up just one win shy, 5 points shy, in the area consolation round against Cyril. How much do you sense that your older girls, or even the sophomores that were there as well, are using that as fuel to not be disappointed this year in that same situation?
Oh, 100%. You always remember those losses from the year before, and it's kind of been like, we've been there 2 years in a row into this area tournament, and we're just determined to try to get over this hump and to find a way to get to that state tournament. So, it's definitely fuel in the fire. It's something that we remember, and it's a stick in our side that we're trying to find a way to get through this next three games, and they're going to be tough games, but to find a way to get to that state tournament.
Well, it seems like it's been a playoff of rematches. I mentioned Waucomas. You squeaked by Arapahoe-Butler. Man, they came out inspired last weekend, and now you have Cheyenne, another rematch with another familiar team. Talk about Cheyenne. We had Coach Carlson on yesterday, and they're a young squad, very talented. I describe them maybe as pesky, and they're just not going to go away. They can get you if you're not ready. Talk about Cheyenne and what's going to take to get by them.
Oh, 100%. Coach Carlson's done a great job. If you followed that group, throughout their junior high year, they've been very dominant all through that. So I'm not surprised that they're finding their groove here late. And we're gonna have to bring it. They're all three, four of them are freshmen, one senior. But they got a lot of fight, and they can shoot the ball well. They got all five of them can score the basketball. So we're gonna have to make sure that we're bringing our A game on both ends of the floor, because like you said, they're not gonna go away. She's built that fight in that group as well, and so it's gonna be a battle. It's going to be a good game to the end.
When you get to this point, would you rather play somebody that you're familiar with, or would you kind of rather it be somebody that you just know a little bit about?
It's sometimes nice knowing about them, just knowing personnel and, having already played them a little bit. And always for the girls, I feel like sometimes they have a little bit more comfort of have already been on the floor with them and seen them, then going in blind and trying to figure things out. So, I mean, there's pros and cons. You can look at it both ways, obviously. But we're just going to go in with the mindset that, you know, we know what they are and we know what they're capable of, and we got to focus on what we got to do.
A final question for me. You mentioned Cheyenne, and they've been together for a while, and in that youth and their junior high run, and it's it looks like that's shaping up in Canute with the program going down to our girls' age, and of course that junior high program was very special this season. Talk about that program as a whole. It just seems like everybody's buying in right now.
Yeah, we want to bring Canute Trojan up basketball to the face, and we want to make sure this program is built the right way, and it starts with the young ones, and just so find a way to get them to buy in of what we're wanting to do and what we're accomplishing, just like the pride, having the pride of Canute Trojan up basketball. And so the young ones have done that. They are a very special group. There's a lot of heart there and a lot of talent, and I'm excited to see what they're going to do, and that goes all the way down to my young group. So we're trying to build something here. We want to be that dynasty that, you know, that ceiling is, that's going to the state tournament year after year. And so that's what we want to eventually become.
All right. Speaking of the state tournament, you're kind of like, you know, the first family of high school basketball out here, right? It's you. Yeah. Have you, your mom, and your uncle made the state tournament in the same year yet?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I know me and my mom did. I want to say yes. I want to say Lance was there as well. It's been a few years. It was my third year at Sentinel. I don't know what the year that would have been. So I want to say.
Yeah, we made it last year. Are you there?
Say Lance was there.
Okay. That's,
yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, you kind of cut out there for just a second. I remember that Sentinel team and being at Burns Flat for the regionals all 3 days as you guys swept through there and then eventually into the state tournament against Okarchee. But I couldn't remember, A, what year that was, and so that I could look up how everybody else did.
I want to say 2017, 2018. It had been somewhere right in that area. I know my mom was there, and I want to say Lance was, but I'm not 100%.
Do you, as a former player, does that influence how you coach and what your style is?
I think just, one, playing, yes, but then, two, just like the coaches that I played under, you know, you learn a lot from them. Obviously, my mom is a major impact on my life as far as coaching, and my dad as well. But even my darling Caleb at Sepulpa, you know, I played under her. And so I just think you just take pieces of things from every coach, and as well as a player, and it turns you into, you know, the type of coach that you end up becoming.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Good luck to the Trojanettes tomorrow against Cheyenne.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Head coach Tatum Ridling of the Canute Trojanettes joining us here to discuss her team's season and then also looking ahead to tomorrow's area consolation game, 1 o'clock in Chickasha against the Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears. Canute Day's not over, Jared.
Nope.
All we're missing is a pizza and a golf cart to finish up Canute Day.
And a cold pop.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. It's 9:30. But that's the way it rolls on Canute Day.
You know your boy Will.
Oh, happy birthday yesterday to Will. We forgot to tell him on the air. Brock Steffens coming up next.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
Are you crying? Are you crying?
The skinny on sports.
There's no crying in baseball.
Welcome back here on a Wednesday, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Canute Day rolls on. Now joining us is the head coach of the 22-7 Canute Trojans. It is Mr. Brock Steffens. Brock, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Jared will be kind of the lead, but I want to ask one question to start. It seems like these guys, like your team, it seems like we know them really, really well because they have played so many minutes. But at the same time, is it hard to remind yourself when maybe you see some silly stuff going on out there? Is it hard to remind yourself that, man, a bunch of these guys are still just sophomores?
Oh, yeah, that's what we – I mean, you've seen the growth from last year when we started four freshmen, and, I mean, a couple kids off the bench were freshmen and stuff. And like I said, that year has helped us a lot, and you can tell this year. But, again, like I said, these are 15- and 16-year-old boys playing against 17- and 18-year-olds most of the night. So, yeah, it's you scratch your head a lot.
I have to tell myself that a lot.
That was really more of a before, question for Jared yeah, on the air.
There's
as opposed
times
to you
I have to say,
bench.
Well, Jared, look down at your score sheet. There's a lot of sophomores right now. But that was, yeah, you mentioned last year, you started them young and they took their lumps, and there's obvious improvement this year, coach. And I mean, how's that been? I mean, it's kind of nice to see these guys as sophomores, and of course the junior and Beck take that leap forward. And kind of the same question I asked Tatum earlier about, I mean, how good can this team be? Not just this year, but by the time those sophomores are seniors, it seems like that ceiling hasn't been met yet.
No. Like I said, they're 16 years old, most of them are. Like I said, hopefully we still got some growth in us, you know, height wise and maturity wise on top of that, but. Like I said, there's lots of potential here. And like I said, every day you see the maturity, the growth in practice, whereas last year, you know, a little bit more, like I said, banging your head against the wall sometimes. You like, but again, these kids are very, very young. And like I said, the sky's the limit. They just keep stay after it and keep after it. And, you know, eventually they're going to be a very, very, very talented group of bunch. You know, easy to coach when they're like that.
There were a lot of games this year that I walked away from thinking, you know what, if we played that game last year, we'd probably lose. But they just did something. They turned a corner, or they hold on to win, or they find a way to win. And I'll even go back to just the most recent one against Rock Creek. That was a tight game going into the half, or going in the half, and then come out and still was tight late in the third quarter. And then Butler hits those couple threes going into the fourth quarter, and then guys were able to pull away. Has that been rewarding for you as a coach to say, you know, mentally these guys are maturing before my eyes?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like last year, we were on a lot of the games that we lost, we were in them or we had the lead going mm-hmm. late. And like I said, that immaturity, I guess you could say, we got beat a lot with that right there. Kids just not being in that position and that spot at that time, you know, that moment. And this year, it seems like we got different guys that can step up and take, you know, a little bit of that leadership role. And it's just, it helps. I mean, it's great. And like I said, they're, you know, 90% of us are sophomores and freshmen with two juniors. So it's only going to get, you know, better as it goes.
Well, speak to your players. You talked about some stepping up, being leaders. Obviously, Jackson Beck, the elder statesman on this group, just a junior, is probably one of them. But anyone else that stood out for you this year?
I mean, everybody that played for me says that, like I said, it's somebody new every night. And the good thing about us is where in the past you could cover up one or two guys, and if you shut them down, we struggled. This year, when you got four guys that are averaging double digits most of the nights and a couple off the bench that are getting six or seven, I mean, pick your poison with us. I mean, somebody's there going to hit a shot eventually. And like I said, we're still working on that defensive side. It needs a little bit of help here and there. But like I said, it's nice that, you know, that know that you can go get a bucket when you need to. You don't have to just rely on one or two kids, you know. So,
how much do you think, as far as preparing yourself for that run through the regional tournament last week, how much did the schedule that you played throughout the regular season help you from a mental toughness side of things coming off that loss to Arapahoe in the district tournament?
It's very important. Like I said, here the schedule we set up is very, very brutal. I mean, and we do that for a reason, because there's so many teams that have that great record going into regionals or area, and they have to play somebody for the first time, you know, that's solid, and they're done. Like I said, so I don't mind playing number ones, number twos, number threes, and we might take some losses here and there, but like I said, we learn from them. So, and it doesn't hurt you when you're losing top five teams, you know, I mean, at all. So, it definitely helps us.
Even in losses, I thought it was encouraging. I don't know if you did. I thought it was encouraging when taking on Duke down at half, made a run at him in the third quarter. Same thing happened with Fort Cobb. Broxton made a run at him in the third quarter. They just made some few shots late to get pulled away. I found that as being encouraging. I know it's hard to find silver linings in losses, but I took that as a positive thing because most teams would just fold it up and say, we're not coming back from this, but your boys didn't do that.
No, and like I said, we've kind of took on this mentality here lately that we need to throw the first punch. You know, we don't need to get ourselves in a hole like on that Duke game and that Fort Cobb where we get ourselves in a hole and you're fighting for your life and you got to use everything to get back in the game. Then, you know, you still got a quarter left and you're just, you know, you're almost done, you know, because you had to get out of that hole. But like I said, they keep fighting and stuff, but we're trying to go out there and get on top right off the bat and play from that mentality instead of having to always, you know, catch up. So. Hey.
We're hanging out with Canute head coach Brock Steffes here on a Wednesday. How much do you notice your playing style or how you played influencing how you coach?
I don't know. It's very similar. I mean, like I said, we like to put the ball in the hole, and like I said, it's always fun to score. And like I said, with that defensive side, that if we could really buy into that side of it and do a little bit better on that end, these guys would. It'd make the game a lot easier to coach and a lot easier on them. But like I said, the game has turned to the offensive side. If you know, everybody wants to score and stuff. So, but a little different. So,
is it cooler playing in the state tournament or coaching in it?
That's tough. I really enjoyed playing in it myself. That was one of the biggest highlights of my career right there, is playing in that, stepping out on that court for the first time. And like I said, I hope everybody gets to enjoy that at least once in their life. So just a different atmosphere. Like I said, you know, you worked for 5 months and all that hard work pays off, you know, when you get there. So.
Well, 3 wins away and you get back there and it starts on or tomorrow afternoon, Southwest Covenant. What do you know about them, Coach? I've seen a little film on them. Look like they got a deep bench, very athletic. What have you seen?
Well, it's hard to simulate 6'5", 6'5", 6'3", 6'3", in practice with my bunch.
Guys, get some brooms?
we're trying to put 8 guys out on there on defense as much as we can. But like I said, they're talented. Coach Cobb does a great job, and I think we met them 2 years ago in their e-tournament. And very athletic, very big. I mean, like I said, big, huge zone. Like I said, they get their hands on a lot of stuff. So we're going to have to take care of the basketball. Like I said, there'll be shots there. I'm not afraid of us scoring right there. We gotta get stopped. Like I said, that's the only thing that kind of scares me is their size and athleticism, which is, I mean, you compare Union City and Rock Creek, probably, you know, if you put them together, that's kind of close, but maybe a little bit taller. But as far as like basketball playing and height and the way that those two teams play, it's pretty close to Southwest Covenant.
Did you go watch them play Sentinel?
I did.
What happened? We're trying to figure that out. It looked like they had that thing won.
They did, I think. And like I said, I'm still scratching my head on that, too. So I think they were up 5 or 6 with like a minute and a half left, and it slipped through their fingers somehow. And Sentinel just kind of – they didn't bow down or nothing. They stayed with it. They didn't panic, and that's what Sentinel does.
If I ask you, you had to do one thing tomorrow – in order to advance past Southwest Covenant, what would that one thing in your mind be?
We got to rebound. Like I said, we got to move the ball against their zone. Okay, we're not going to be able to get away with some of these passes that we usually get away with because they're, like I said, they're long and lanky. They're going to get a hand on a lot of stuff. But we got to rebound first. We got to rebound and we got to move the ball against their zone and get open shots because it'll be a little tougher. So, but rebounding most definitely.
All right, man. Hey, good luck to you. We really, really, really appreciate your time. Great season for a young squad still. It's amazing to still say that, though. But the Canute Trojans are still coming.
It's pretty exciting.
If you're a basketball fan in the town of Canute, I think you're going to enjoy the next few years with the boys and the girls both. So good luck tomorrow, Brock. We really appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you guys a lot.
Absolutely. Yep. Head coach Brock Steffes of the Canute Trojans joining us here. On a Canute Day Wednesday, good stuff. Yeah, that. I mean, seriously, the youth and the talent that is on both of those teams of the coaches we talked to today, in junior high on down. It's an exciting time to be over there in Canute. Not only for what's coming up tomorrow, and hopefully Friday and Saturday, but then also all the way into the future and what that could hold.
Yeah, there's time. You can sense it with the fans and the parents. You know, I hang out with a lot of them, and the anxiousness of it. Like, you know, there's a lot of tense moments sometimes in games, and sometimes we'll say, one, listen, they're a bunch of sophomores. and two, I know why you're anxious like this, because you want the future to be now, and it's coming. All that success, I think, is coming sooner than later. It's really exciting right now over in Canute, because there's a lot of passionate fans and players and kids who are buying into both the basketball programs, boys and girls, and both coaches are doing a great job. Can't say enough.
Yeah, the one thing that you almost caution against, because you want the future to get here so fast, don't pass up what's happening now.
Right.
You know, a little bit like what we saw really the first time the Thunder were here.
Yeah.
All right, let's hurry up and lose to Miami. That way we could get to next year and beat them in the finals, right. And then all of a sudden that never comes.
Yeah.
So that would be the one thing. Enjoy it now, right.
Absolutely. You're right. Enjoy the now.
I mean, it's always a conversation that we like to have. Heck, we asked Leisha yesterday about, you know, the experience that her freshmen are gaining in these moments in the regional finals and now into the area tournament tomorrow against Canute, and how that can help for later. But you also don't want to skip past the fact that, hey, you're three wins away from being in the state tournament this year. What's wrong with just doing it this year and then worry about later?
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's an interesting dynamic for both of those schools. All right. Here's the question. Over under 2.5 schools in the Paragon Network that are over under teams that make the Class A and B state tournament. I set the over under at 2.5. The reason I did 2.5 is obviously because there's two playing in area finals.
Right.
So
that's Hammond girls and
Leedy boys. You assume they might win one of the next two.
The chances are pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So that leaves somebody else coming from the consolation bracket. If you want to choose the under, or I mean, I'm sorry, if you want to choose the over.
So it clearly can't be Cheyenne and Canute, because they'd have to go through each other. Well, that's going to happen tomorrow. And what's the other one? Eric Boys are still involved.
Well, it feels like Arnett is, but Leedy Arnett isn't really. It feels like that's a Paragon game, but it's not.
I know.
In a lot of ways.
Come on, Arnett.
They got their own guy.
Can I push at 2.5? No.
You can't get halfway there.
No. I'll go under. I'll say 2. I'm just playing the percentages here. I'd say 2.
I'm going to go over. I think somebody –
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Don't ask me who, but I think somebody is going to be able to run through area and win 3 in a row.
Yeah, the good thing I like about this is when you get to this area, and especially around the consolation bracket, is – you have days to prepare. You have days to hit the reset button and get that rest, and then make a go at it. And it's happened. You've seen teams do it.
And another thing I like is the reason I would say over is because nobody's going to run into each other falling out. Like, Hammond's not going to have to play somebody if they lose on Friday.
No.
Leedy's not going to have to play somebody. You know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah.
On the boys' side. They don't have to knock each other out to get into the state tournament.
Right.
So I'll say over. I'll say somebody does it. I just don't know who. I don't know for sure who. I really like the chances of whoever wins tomorrow between Canute and Cheyenne. On the girls' side.
Potentially
I'm gonna say it right now. Whoever wins that game is gonna play on Saturday. Now, it could be a really good opponent, don't get me wrong. But I think the winner of that game is playing Saturday night to go to the state tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, out of all that, and I know, you know, Cyril and Allen is a juicy matchup, and the rematch between Canute and Cheyenne has its own storylines. But like I said earlier, Wacomas and Sentinel girls, I've seen Sentinel more than once. Obviously seen Wacomas. For me, it just looks like they will match up evenly. And I mean personnel, X's and O's on the court. Her name escapes me. Sentinel's center.
Pruitt,
thank you. Yeah. I think she could have a little bit of a...
Riley, isn't it? Riley
Pruitt. Yeah, a little bit of height advantage against Wacomas. And if Wacomas comes out flat shooting, Sentinel could have a really good day. But I see... Yeah. And then no matter what happens, you'll get a Yeah, no, no, you won't. Excuse me. But anyways, that one. But I see what you're saying with Cheyenne and Canute.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about Allen. That's the thing. I don't know anything about him. Are they for real or not? They've had some big wins in these playoffs, like point margin wise. I'm pulling up their schedule right now. And then Wacomas goes toe-to-toe with them. And I said Saturday night, I sent a message out to my guys, said, Wacomas is going to mess around and beat Allen. And then Allen pulls away and wins by 8. But right before that, Allen beat Union City 83-39. And they got these big lopsided wins, but have they been tested? I guess that's the question I'm asking. Have they been tested this year? And that's the mystery of not knowing some of these teams without seeing them. Like, I'm looking at their schedule. I'm trying to find some. I mean, they lost to Van Ost by 2. They're out of 2A. They lost to Latta. Again, out of 2A. A couple ranked teams, by the way.
Here's what's crazy.
And even Surreal has had some kind of head scratchers.
One of the things that would make me maybe lean under is one of our teams here in the area consolation. Every team left in their area, in Class B girls area 1, everybody left is ranked.
Yeah, I was doing that earlier.
There's not very there can't be maybe one other area in A or B, boys or girls, that could be like that. But everybody is still ranked that's left. In that area.
There are some fun.
Omega, yeah. Frontier, Arnett, Leedy, Kremlin Hillsdale, and Boise City.
Those area finals, everybody is. Those are fun. Or like up and down, they all look really, I mean, not all of them, but most of them. Like Mountain View, Gobo, Lukeba Sickles, the area final, Class B girls. I forget what area, but that one.
4.
That's a top 5 matchup.
That yeah, 3 versus 5. I can't wait. You
How
know
about Granite and Wilson boys? Is Granite for real? I mean,
Granite can shoot.
I mean, I had my doubts when they were going to go up against Hammond. My apology, Panther fans.
Granite has
continue
some
dudes
to
prove
shoot.
Me wrong. I want to see them get in this.
You know
thing.
The game I'm the most intrigued to see by what the result is in A and B, boys or girls.
I know what you're going to say.
What?
Say it.
Class B girls, Dover, Pittsburgh.
No, that wasn't what I was going to say. But that's a good one too.
That's the
Dover,
one. I'm in,
Dover has some head scratchers, don't
I'm
they?
I'm just intrigued by it because they came out of absolutely nowhere. When you're talking about teams that were in the finals a year ago, but look, they beat Omega 20 first rattle out of the box. They beat a Garber team that's still going by 25. Varnum playing to go to the state tournament beat them by 30. I mean, they've got some really impressive wins, and then all of a sudden. Got to February, you lose to Geronimo, which, hey, Geronimo's playing Hammond in the area finals.
Top,
I get it.
Top 10 team, right?
And then Canton, you lose by 3. I don't know. That's clearly a team that's never and been there.
How much weight do you put in this? Dover came over. I might be wrong. Hammond fans, correct me. They had that super scrimmage over the Christmas break, and Dover came over and played Hammond. And
Rover came over.
I said Dover. I said Dover, oh, Dover.
Red Rover, Red Rover.
Red Dover.
Let Dover come over.
But Hammond had their way with them. And, again, it's a scrimmage, so I don't know what the personnel was like, if they were inserting things and trying things out, or if even Dover was at 100% because they didn't want to be. I don't know if that's any tell of the tape for us. I don't know.
Interesting on the text line, and this is exactly right, like to think about that we could find – that many good games on Thursday out here. I mean, out here there's ones we couldn't even name, but they're good ones. That's a little bit different. Like, losing in regionals for a really good team, kind of get upset. A lot of times you kind of thought, well, okay, whatever. They'll still kind of breeze into Saturday of the area, even if it was in the regionals. You're like, all right, well, they'll run through the rest of this regional. Thursday is a cakewalk. Friday maybe a little tougher, and then a possibility of a really good one on Saturday. That's not the case in a lot of these the last few years. I mean, there are knockdown dragouts even into Thursday of the area tournament right now in that consolation bracket. case in point, that Class B girls area that's going to be playing at Enid, where everybody's still ranked. I mean, that's that didn't happen a couple years ago. The text line is exactly right. You almost felt like you had a mulligan if you lost on Saturday of regionals, because you're like, okay, we'll get so-and-so on Friday, Thursday, Friday. That's right, yeah. And then get back, you know, can we beat that team if we play them again, or whoever they would beat, because Thursday and Friday are kind of meh. But now you're going to have to play good.
Better show up.
A bunch of these teams are going to have to play good. All right, let's switch our focus right quick to the College Football Playoff Committee. Yesterday, I don't think this was a giant surprise at what happened, but also it's official. So originally when the playoff decided to expand to 12 teams, it was going to be a 6+6 model, mm-hmm. which meant the top six highest-ranked conference champs got a bid, and then the sixth highest-ranked at-large teams would fill out the rest of the bracket.
Right.
That has been changed now to 5+7. 5 conference champs, 7 at-large bids. Obviously, that was necessitated by the collapse and the disappearance of the Pac-12. Pac-12 goes away, and so now everybody congregates back, and so it's going to be the top 5 highest-ranked conference champs and then 7 at-larges. Do you have any qualms with doing that?
No. I mean, they basically ratified it. They all voted to approve it.
Yeah, it had to be unanimous, and the 10 conference commissioners plus Notre Dame.
I didn't realize this until you said the report yesterday. Yes. The Notre Dame thing, they're not in a conference, so no matter what, they cannot be a top 4?
That's 100% correct.
Yeah.
So because so not only do the top 5 conference champs, highest-ranked conference champs, make the playoff, the top 4 highest-ranked will be the top 4 seeds that get the byes. So an at-large team cannot be in the top 4 no matter what they're ranked. The conference champs will be seeded 1 through 4 and not have to play that first week. That means Notre Dame, as an independent, absolutely cannot be a top 4 team no matter what. The best they can be seeded is number 5. Even if they're number 1 in the College Football Playoff Committee poll, they will be seeded no higher than number 5.
Will this push Notre Dame to a conference?
It hasn't yet. I mean, and they had a vote to ratify this change, and they accepted it. Yeah. So
you're not going to expect
the money must be pretty good.
Yeah. You're not. I was wondering, well, are they sitting back waiting until that scenario happens and then they go and sue them or something? But they can turn around and go, you voted for it. You said yes to this format.
It almost tells you that the independence is a bigger thing to them than maybe we realize.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I would have always kind of thought once it got to this, they would join for the competitive nature of it and not really being behind the eight ball. But they view it a little bit different than that. So that's one thing. The other thing that –
does it change anybody – I know we got like 4 minutes, but does it change anybody's predictions of who can make – you know what I mean? There was this – okay, if this is what I feel like the 12-team playoff will look like now. Well, now this has changed. I wonder if that changes that – anyone's idea of who can get in and who can't.
It's just an
or
extra
who will or who won't.
It's probably more than likely it's just an extra Big Ten or SEC team. Or maybe opens the door for a second ACC and Big 12. I mean, like, okay, so I know this conversation was happening yesterday on these airwaves in the afternoon. Of those 7 at-large bids, I mean, I could easily see minimum 5 each and every year being Big Ten and SEC teams, and probably a bunch of year 6.
Yeah.
With 1 Big 12 or an extra Big 12 or an extra ACC team gobbling up that other spot. I could easily see that. You know, yeah, to your point about what does this change, you look at like, okay, how would it have been last year? And that's all it is. It's Big Ten and SEC. You know, with the conference champs now sprinkled in, it's a wild deal. I wonder if it pushes even more so toward the idea of the Big Ten being the AFC and the SEC being the NFC eventually, to where football breaks off and they just have two mega conferences that fill these spots.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe not in this model. Maybe that would have to change. That's a little bit redundant, probably. Hey, maybe not. Maybe they can figure it out for the 12-teamer. Do you like – here's the one thing I don't like. I don't like – and I wonder if schools would trade that. They probably would, but I don't like the fact that the teams that get byes don't then get to host a game.
Yeah, they should be rewarded for a – with a
I mean, they're
game.
Rewarded with a bye, but then when they start playing, it goes to neutral site games for the quarters, yeah. The semis, and then, of course, the national title game is kind of it's farmed out in a different way. So those six games that'll comprise the quarters and the semis will be rotated between the New Year's Six sites. And I guess the numbers work that way. But if it's for me, I would rather see the first two rounds on campus. You know, 5, 6, 7, 8 host 9, 10, 11, 12 in the first round, and then whoever wins those games go to 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then the neutral site, almost a little bit like the Final Four. I mean, I get, but the whole tournament's neutral. I understand that or whatever. But then, like, the Final Four becomes like it is now. Those games are the neutral site games. For me, that's how I like the idea of more playoff games, but I also love the idea of playoff games
more home
on
games.
Campus.
Yeah, more because that's what college football is all about, is that on-campus atmosphere. And if you're getting a bye, that feels a little weird. Like, well, we didn't get a bye. We don't get that revenue. We don't. Our businesses around the stadium get nothing. And those who have to play that first round get it. That feels odd. It does feel odd.
Yeah, that's.
But they should be rewarded. You're right. Because of what I just said, the atmosphere, like, hey, congratulations, your team's awesome. You got a bye and you get an extra home game.
Yeah, on the text line, maybe the Irish are smarter because they'll get a home game and that extra revenue.
Yeah, maybe.
Guarantee.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, Billy. Yes, that's correct. Thrash. From
yep.
Dover to Cheyenne.
Went to Dover to Cheyenne.
That's exactly right. Text line stuff. Yeah, but that, I mean, I just, you know, college football, it feels like even a bunch of these big-time early season matchups that we might be losing anyways because of the conference expansion and all that, but it seemed like a lot of those games even are going away from the home-and-home model and playing at Jerry World or playing at the Superdome or playing in Atlanta or whatever it might be. We're getting so much more neutral site. Like, if it's up to me, I want there to be two neutral site games in the regular season. Oklahoma and Texas, and if you want Florida, I'd really just rather one, but Florida and Georgia's always done it too.
Mm-hmm.
But play those games on campus where the energy and the emotion is so much more palpable, and that's what everybody loves about college football, the pageantry of it, the tradition of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big reason why a lot of the Sooner fans are so excited about the move to the SEC, even if they're concerned about what it means for results on the field. It's about going to those places that you've never been.
Get to go to Oxford. Get to go to Baton Rouge. Get to go, yeah, and all those other schools. And then they get to come here, and it just seems like it's going to be – it did feel like – and I guess since the announcement was made that this was happening, what, 2, 3 years ago now, that – Kansas State's coming to town. Now we can go, oh, Alabama's coming. Oh-ho-ho! And just that energy is going to be a little bit more electric.
Yeah, I heard Trammell say it's not even better, it's just new.
Comparing
going to Kansas State to going to Oxford. I'm sorry. I've never been to Kansas State. I've never been to Aggieville or whatever it's called. But no offense, I've actually never been to the Grove. I know people that have. I've seen many photos and videos of that scene. There's no way in hell it ain't better than Kansas State. I'm sorry. It's just there's no way. Okay?
Yeah.
Going down, as much as they're fake military dudes, going down to A&M is cooler than going to Iowa State. Okay? And Iowa State's cool. I'm not trying to disparage the Cyclones. But Baton Rouge at night, KU with the track around the field. I don't think it's really that much of a – but Vol Navy versus Tortilla Flingers. Yeah, come on. Let's be honest here. There's a reason why the slogan is, it just means more, because it literally does.
Like, there's maybe one place in the SEC that I would never look forward to going
Vanderbilt.
Well, maybe not. They're
but that's Nashville.
Nashville.
Exactly right.
Nashville.
I was going to say, don't say that. You know where I don't want to go?
Where's that?
Kentucky.
For football? Or just for the – never mind.
Period.
We're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Just for period. Kentucky. Give me a break, Kentucky.
You're just doing this to get under someone's skin who you know is listening.
He must have already went to the mailbox.
I almost went to that route when you were giving me, well, these Kentucky fans have these numbers. I'm like, Kentucky fans can't count.
Whoa, dear. That was Jared, not Aaron. I was just playing around. That got a little bit.
I said I almost. I didn't do that. I didn't say that. I almost did, but I held back.
He's either not texting or driving or not in his truck. Sam sees right through the game. All right, last note. Did you see last night UConn?
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, popping up on ESPN's website yesterday, it was, would you take UConn or the field?
I saw that too. And
you always said, play the field.
The field, of
every time. It's the NCAA tournament, for heaven's sake.
Especially this year.
Interestingly enough, UConn is now 0-21 against ranked teams on the road in the last decade.
Ooh, ouch.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That is a little nuts.
Because you know what they have also done in the last 10 years?
Well, they've won a couple titles.
Two titles.
Yeah. That's crazy.
They won the national title twice, and they haven't beaten a ranked road team.
You usually have to be consistently good on the road to win titles like that or even be in contention for it. That's crazy. That's a crazy stat. Was that Creighton's first number one win over number one? Did I see that right?
Ooh, I bet so.
That's crazy too. I figured Creighton, well, I know they've had some ranked wins. They play pretty good basketball. Or they have consistently over the few years. But I think it was their first win over a number one all time.
I bet you I could find that right quick. Oh no. The ESPN stats and info quit. They must have taken the All-Star break off.
Oh, they quit?
They haven't tweeted anything since February 14th.
Or did they get fired by Disney?
Oh, maybe they got laid off. Sorry about that.
Them along with Sports Illustrated looking for
that was normally like the go-to spot on crazy stats like that.
Well, maybe they are taking an All-Star break. Which, by the way, picks back up tomorrow or tonight? I know for the Thunder tomorrow. I'm anxious to get back. All-Star game sucked. I was disappointed. I was actually really interested because of SGA starting.
I only watched
just to see SGA get introduced as a starter, and then I quickly lost interest. But I will say this. Saturday night was kind of cool with the court. Like, they're playing on a big LED court. Did you see any of that?
No.
It was wicked trippy. I thought it was like superimposed, like AI or something. Then I realized, no, that is actually the court that they were shooting. It would change colors. It was like a giant TV they were playing on.
Oh, really?
So that had to look cool because they did that in Lucas Oil. That had to look cool as from a fan's perspective, from up top and stuff. And they had the countdown of the three-point contest and keeping score on the court and all the graphics and stuff. So kudos to the NBA trying to keep that intriguing. But that's where it should stop because the game is horrible.
Yeah.
Why even play it?
The Pro Bowl
change the format or something.
The Pro Bowl went through this, and I think they've made it better. People laugh about it being flag football now, but it's way more competitive than it ever was toward the end of the Pro Bowl.
I was actually a little interested.
The flag football is pretty good.
I was interested. Mic'd up. You got Manning versus Manning.
Yes.
The players joking around with each other.
It's way better than just the half.
They're trying
speed of whatever that was at the end of the Pro Bowl that had pads.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a game. And so the NBA is going to have to figure something out in this regard as well.
USA versus world. I think that's the next step.
Maybe that's it. Try that. Maybe it's old dudes versus young dudes.
It's a good one.
I don't know why, because it works so well the one time they did it. What's that finish where you have the target score?
Yeah, they changed the scoring format up.
What was that? And that was awesome. Go back and watch the last three or four minutes of that.
They
were playing their butts off.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the next...
Yeah, Elam finish or something like that. Yeah. That's right.
They need to do... I think the next step is international versus USA. World versus USA.
Does USA have enough to play?
Great question. We should look at a hypothetical. Look at this year's team. Split them up, world versus USA, see what we got. But it would change the format. I mean, it would change who they're picking because they'd have to keep it even. You know, a certain amount of players.
Yeah, I wonder if you end up with guys that don't just really deserve it because you got to fill a quota.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, this sounds... Never mind. Sounded a little affirmative action-ish.
Oh, boy.
If we don't watch out, we'll end up with non-qualified workers at the All-Star game, Jared.
We already did.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It may just have jumped the shark, and it is what it is. Everyone have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.